Fred Film Radio, Festival du Cannes, France.
Fred Film Radio from the 76th edition of the Cannes Film Festival. I'm Federica Scarpa, and today I'm in company of Kanu Behel, director of Agra in Quinzaine de Cinéaste. Hello, Kanu.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be here.
So, first of all, can you introduce your film Agra to our listeners?
Sure. So, it's a film about sexuality and sexual repression, and the idea of the physical spaces that we inhabit and how our sexuality and our sexual lives affect the physical spaces that we live in, and how the physical spaces in turn end up affecting our sexual lives. It's a film that is interesting for a socio-political cultural situation like India, because as you know now, India is probably as populous as China is, but the difference between us and China is that China has such a huge landmass, and in India we have so many people crunched into so many small tiny spaces the emotional expression within a limited space becomes difficult. So it's also seen through the eyes of this 26-year-old protagonist, this young boy whose name is Guru, and his strange sexual odyssey as he tries to find his own sexual expression within a house and living with a family that is struggling with the same larger patterns.
As you said in the film, the protagonist Guru has struggled to find, also in my opinion, a connection with people around him. He has problem with his mother and his father. I don't see he have many friends, and also he has this struggle to have a relation with women. So I was wondering if this is also a film about loneliness in this huge and so crowded society.
Absolutely, in some ways it is. I think for me it was a personal exploration through me, some of the things that I had felt as an adolescent, as a young man growing up in India. Of course it becomes a film about loneliness, because there is a certain search for truth that this boy is, you know, in many ways going through. He sees certain sexual patterns in his house. His father lives with a mistress, and yet there is the mother in the same house. So there are so many things that he sees around himself, and he can very naturally sense that the public face of the relationships that these people are putting up for survival in the public structures is refined, and yet they are able to live with their public faces, but there's something deeply dishonest about the relationships at the core. There's something rotten, and I think in some way he is hoping to correct that or be able to establish his own relationships, his own life, his own familial life, personal life in a much more honest way. And I think in some way he feels that through sex, through the expression of being completely naked in his most private moments with another human being, he can perhaps establish a much more honest relationship. And when he is unable to do that and go beyond the transactionality of all the relationships within the film, there is a deep loneliness that sets in within him. And it's in that sense, the film is also almost like a reverse coming of age, where he says by the end that, okay, if this is what it is, and if this is what all of you want, and if all of you only want a very transactional expression of our relationships, which is invested in the construction, the physical construction of the house, then so be it. Then let's do that. But then let me show you how to properly do it. Because in today's world, where the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer, if you want to build a 5-story house for you, yourself and your family, then there's a very basic amputation involved, which is that the base of the house will be sold to someone else, and you cannot get 5 floors. You might perhaps get 3 or maybe 3.5, but let me show you how to survive in the modern world.
Talking about the relationship, I was thinking, watching your film, that probably the action of the father influence in some ways the way guru sees women. Is it right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think anyway, in a family, you end up learning from the people closest to you. And your family is anyway very close to you. So you imbibe certain patterns and you develop a very early gaze towards how your parents are addressing life and how they go about it. And I think what's interesting about guru is that many of us in our lives take years and years and sometimes even our lifetime to break through those patterns, and we are not able to see through our parents' gaze and separate ourselves from it. But I think the interesting thing about guru is that he senses that the pattern that he sees in his father is somewhere not right. It doesn't make sense. And he's almost right from the beginning trying to rebel against it and find an alternative to it. So yes, his struggle within the film is let's just say his relationship with his father is like a springboard for that, is like a dive board for that struggle.
But in the end, we see in some kind of way, Guru be the adult between he and his father.
Yeah, absolutely. As I said, you know, by the end for me, it's almost like a reverse coming of age. It's a maturing of this boy. It's almost like giving up the struggle that he was trying. I mean, he doesn't have the vocabulary for the struggle. He doesn't know how to express it. He's probably even doing all the wrong things. But at the heart of it, he's really trying to tell these people that they might be smart about how they are living their lives, but there's something rotten at the base of it. And when that doesn't happen and it almost becomes transactional, then I think he matures and makes himself ready as almost all of us adults are, where we try to where we learn to negotiate better with the outer world and live with our internal repressions burrowed in much deeper than even before.
It's also interesting how you talk about mental diseases, which is, especially in the beginning, a very important and also intense part of your film. So can you tell me a bit more about that?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question because, you know, part of the reason, I mean, one of the major reasons why the film is called Agra and not a lot of people outside of India would be aware of that is, of course, everybody outside the world knows Agra for the Taj Mahal, which is a symbol of love. But not a lot of people know that at one point, Agra used to have the largest mental asylum in the country. And that's why I chose to call it Agra. But for an Indian audience, it's an immediate connection because they connect it to that. However, it's interesting and it's tricky because I think it's very easy to look at the film from the lens of mental illness. But for me, that is the first thing that an audience might react because the character is so difficult. It's an easy path to other the protagonist by saying, oh, he's mentally ill. But as I said earlier, you know, if Guru is mentally ill, then all the other people living in that house are as equally mentally ill, if not more than him. Because I think the others understand their mental illness and they have learned how to hide it. He's the only one who's not hiding it. He's the one who's honestly trying to talk about the fact he's ready to even be perceived as crazy to be able to talk about what really needs to be talked about. So I think I would, at the end of the day, not want the film to be looked at through the lens of mental illness. Or if someone chooses to, take the difficult path and say it's a film about a bunch of crazy people, not just one crazy boy.
In fact, watching the film, you have this doubt. Is he really crazy as they said, or maybe his behavior is because of something else?
I think, in fact, he's probably the sanest boy in the house, which is what you realize by the end of the film, that he's the sanest of them all.
I'd like to talk also about the women in your film, because under, let's say, this surface of patriarchy, they are the only ones to really handle the situations.
Yeah, well, you know, that's one of the, I love that the fact that you asked me that question because, you know, not a lot of people are able to get this insight because we always see in cinema somehow, I don't know why we see this, but we see many films about patriarchy, but we never see the women I feel in full flow or how I have experienced them in my life. But I think truly in a patriarchal society, the women are end up being much more stronger and much more, clever is not the right word, but they know how to deal with men because that's the only way for them to be able to survive in that world. And it takes a lot of strength. It takes a lot of actually being able to understand men and not manipulate them, but be able to work around them and exist within the patriarchal structure. I think that makes the women in that sort of a society much more beautiful and much more evolved as human beings.
I'd like to ask you about the colorful liquid that we see. What does it mean?
So, you know, that was a very, very interesting journey for me because I'll be really honest, when I started writing the film, I was not very confident that I understood Guru's character very well. Because I come, at the end of the day, all said and done, truthfully, I come from a slightly middle-class household. I grew up in a three-bedroom house. So even though I had felt a certain sexual repression, when I started writing, I realized, I felt like, and I questioned myself and I said, do I feel it to the extent that Guru feels it? And, you know, that led me to seriously question whether I will be able to honestly represent the character. And I went on a journey myself to put myself actively in situations that Guru was in to be able to feel that extent of sexual repression. And to give you a small example, you know, I spent about 6 months deeply immersed in sex chat rooms. And I sometimes posed as girls, sometimes I posed as random boys, sometimes I posed as myself because I really wanted to understand what is the feeling of time and space that Guru is feeling. And the more time I spent in that sexual storm trying to come as close to the feeling as what Guru would be feeling, I realized that, you know, we all have public, private and secret personas. But when you feel sexual repression to that extent, an interesting thing happens is that your private persona almost gets killed. And you only are left with a public persona and a secret persona. And your public persona is continuously feeding the secret persona, which is the deviant, which is the sexual persona. And when I reached there, I knew I had hit upon something interesting. And I realized that that creates just noise in your head. Noise and chaos. And that noise and chaos, I wanted to reflect through those colors in the film. That for me became the liminal space that Guru lives in and that the audience hopefully becomes a part for these little moments within the film.
Thank you, Kano, for being with us. And this is Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.